We're in Uyuj Lysi, circling on the Parsha. Despite the fact that this week is a double Parsha of Behar B'chukotai, since last week we dealt with Emor and Behar together as one unit, we're going to really focus on the wrapping up, the conclusion of Sefer Vayikra and the last circling on the Parsha of the semester. We're going to bring the semester to a close, bring Sefer Vayikra to a close, and focus in on the end, the final chord of Sefer Vayikra, which is Parsha B'chukotai, with beautiful accompanying music in the background. Okay, let's take a look at the Chumashim together. All you have today in front of you are Chumashim, because that's all you need. We're going to be looking at the text, we're going to be seeing the structure of the text, we're going to see again how the whole Sefer comes to a close. So open up in your Chumashim on page 708, Parsha B'chukotai. Before we even look into the context, the content of the Parsha inside, what is the primary content of Parsha B'chukotai? What is it known for? The Tochacha. What is Tochacha? Rebuke, admonition. Clap for admonition. Rebuke, admonition. It's the sense. It's seemingly coming at the end of Vayikra is this very angry, very frightening closure to the entirety of the Sefer. Reminding us once again that God is an angry God, a vengeful God, who's really just out there to do us harm and to hope we mess up so he can take out his anger on us, as we've been taught, thank you to our education, right? That's this image of God that we sort of get built up. It comes out very much from the fact that when we think of Parsha B'chukotai, our automatic thought is, oh yeah, it's the Parsha of the Tochacha. That's its definition. That's its defining moment. But if we actually look at the text, we'll find that there's a lot more to the Parsha. The Tochacha itself doesn't begin until the beginning of the second paragraph, and amazingly, through trying to really squeeze the Tochacha into one aliyah, already two aliyot in, two and a half aliyot in. But the first paragraph deals with something entirely different. Take a look at the beginning of the Parsha. Perek Chavav Psukim Gimel through Yud Gimel. What's happening at the beginning of the Parsha? What title would you give that? What's the topic of that first paragraph? The beginning of Parshat B'chukotai, the first 10 psukim, first 11 psukim. The first paragraph. What's the topic?
Miracles of blessing and curse.
So, that's a great opening for the entirety of those few things, and thank you to Archbold for their shoulder caption. What's the key word there that actually brings out what's happening in that paragraph? We'll get back to that in a second. But the issue of bracha, which was the word blessing in his older caption, right? Bracha, the first whole paragraph is this incredibly beautiful description of the brachot that will come to us, which, as Chavi pointed out, the beginning, the opening words of the Parsha, im b'chukotai teilechu, if you follow in my laws, that mitzvotai tishmor v'asit matam, then v'natati shekem v'itam, I'm going to give you all of these tremendous psukim of bracha. Only after we go to the paragraph which deals with bracha, then we get to the tochacha. If we were to move away from the lashon of tochacha, what's the next paragraph really about? Unsurprising as it relates to one of the two words on the board, and it's not the word tochacha. It relates to the word bracha, but it's certainly not brachot. Klalot. Or kala. That's really what it's going through. These really are two halves of the same discussion, right? That's why the shoulder caption wrote it in the way that it did. That first you have this introduction of bracha, and then the flip side of that is in a much longer paragraph, but an entire paragraph of klala, which we refer to as the tochacha. That takes us through most of the parsha, to be fair. And that theoretically should be how we wrap up Sefer Vayikra. Somehow this bracha, klala, duality is standing at the end of Sefer Vayikra. For the sake of intellectual honesty, I don't know if we're going to get to it in this year, but it's online, it's the last year on Sefer Vayikra from the Midrashah from 1 year ago. There actually is one more paragraph at the end. Perek Chav Zayin. Deals with, very interestingly, the equivalent valuation of certain items if you want to designate a gift to the Beit HaMikdash, which actually, honestly, seems totally out of place. But that somehow is the actual final chord of the Vayikra. We'll either touch on it today, which is unlikely, or again, you can listen to this year separately. But we're going to focus on this bracha klala tochacha reality as the, basically the summing up of the Sefer, knowing that there is this piece here, which is incredibly important, but a separate topic. Why are we ending? Well, before that, just to see that it is actually what's concluding it. It's very interesting. Take a look in the very end of the bracha klala section at the end of the tochacha. You get a real sense of Sefer Vayikra wrapping up, as it should be. It's the final portion of Sefer Vayikra. Take a look at Perek Chaf Vav, Pasuk Mem Vav. It says at the end of this bracha klala section, "Ele hachukim v'amishpatim v'atorot asher natar Hashem beino uvein b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe." These are the chukim, the mishpatim, and the Torah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave between him and b'nei Yisrael at Har Sinai b'yad Moshe. Which would make sense again. Chazak, chazak, v'chazek. End of the sefer. There is a very, there's a sense of finality and conclusion there. And after that last paragraph, it's actually very similar. Look to the very last pasuk of the parsha and of the sefer, Perek Chavzayim pasuk Lamed Daled. Eileh ha-mitzvot asher siva Hashem et Moshe el b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. Similarly, again, two layers of conclusion here. So we're going to focus on that first layer. The question that presents itself is, why is there a whole bracha and klala section here at all? Why do we have the tochacha here? Why is this conclusion of Sefer Vayikra? So let's journey back and think about what Sefer Vayikra is, what it set out to accomplish, and how this would, in fact, wrap it up. If it's the wrapping up parsha, it should bring all of the disparate elements, not really disparate, all the unified elements, which hopefully we've accomplished somewhat over the course of the last few weeks, all of the unified elements of Vayikra, really bringing them all together, literally unifying them, and bringing them to their conclusion. Vayikra opened up with what word? Vayikra al Moshe. The first word of the Sefer is the first word of the name of the book. Vayikra al Moshe. It opened up with this call. Vayikra al Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor. Building off of the end of Sefer Shmot, where when Sefer Shmot concluded, Moshe Rabbeinu put up and took down and put up and took down the Mishkan 8 times until finally he accomplished the goal of Sefer Shmot, which was to create a Mishkan of reality where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shochem with the Bnei Yisrael comes into the Mishkan. The end of Sefer Shmot, Vayichas Hanat Ol Moed Ukvar Hashem Aleit HaMishkan. And there's a pasuk there that we talked about previously. There's a pasuk there that already foreshadows and hints to where Torah is going with the Sefer Vayikra. The end of Sefer Shmot. V'lo yachol Moshe lavo al Ol Moed. Moshe was unable to enter Ol Moed. Why? Ki shachan ala ve'anan. Because this cloud came onto Ol Moed. Ukvod Hashem Aleit HaMishkan. Meaning the goal of Sefer Shmot was to create a reality where Kvod Hashem is Malei the Mishkan, where Kadosh Baruch Hu fills the Mishkan. And that's why the Sefer ends on that note. That was the goal of Sefer Shmot. But there's a whole other stage which the Torah is telling us we haven't accomplished yet, which is that Moshe is totally intimidated by that reality of Kvod Hashem Aleit HaMishkan. And even though he's been working on this, and working on this, and working on this, and then literally he's been building it up and down and up and down for 8 days, and he finally achieves it. Kvod Hashem Aleit HaMishkan. He can't enter. He can't come in. And that's what creates the opening of Sefer Vayikra. God then sees Moshe Rabbeinu standing there, intimidated to enter. And Vayikra el Moshe. He gives Moshe this call to enter inside. This call to come into the Mishkan. A call of warmth, a call of closeness. As Rashi says on that first pasuk, that Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. It's this loving call to come in and enter. And he in fact even contrasts it to the way that Bilam is spoken to, the greatest Navi of the non-Jews. How is Bilam spoken to? Not Vayikra, but rather Vayikar. He happened upon Bilam. He happens upon the people. He happens to bump into the other people in the other nations. There's no intentionality there. There's no closeness there. Vayikra al-Moshe is this intimate call into the Mishkan. What does Mishkan eventually become? Later on in history, Beit HaMikdash. It's a call into what will become the Beit HaMikdash, which in and of itself is a call into Kiddusha, which is the entire focus of the Sefer. It's a recognition that yes, Kiddusha is intimidating. It's unknown. There's a cloud that surrounds it, and it totally seems mystifying from the outside. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting us into a reality of Kiddusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting us into Kiddusha, inviting us into the Mishkan. And so Moshe is called in, and that way is paved through an introduction of how to get into the Mishkan through the realm of Korbanot. We have the transition in Parshat Shmini where we're told we have to achieve Kedusha in stages. We have to remove Tum'ot to create a reality of Tahara and to fill a hole with meaning to get to Parshat Kedoshim and live Kedusha. And when we get to a reality of Kedusha, Parshat Kedoshim, to understand that that's what's at the center of the Mishkan, that's what's at the center of Beit HaMikdash, is the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that Kedusha is the center of all things. And on top of that, there are even realms of Kedusha that go higher than that. That's Parsha Emor, the Har that we talked about last time, that there are elements of all parts of reality that have elevated levels of Kedusha in time, space, and soul, in Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. And now we've gone through that entire journey of understanding that we literally just summed up the entirety of Sefer Vayikra. That's the narrative of Sefer Vayikra. Is we've gone through and we've understood what Kedusha is. Because at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at us and said, Atem tiuli mamlechet kohanim begoy kadosh. You need to be a holy people. That's your definition. That's your essence. You're a people of Kedusha. And Vayikra defines for us, what does it mean to be in a relationship of Kedusha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How does that work? What is the content? What are the definitions? How do we relate to that reality? That's Sefer Vayikra. Now that all of this has been explained, now that all of this has been explored and discovered and revealed, now that we've come to the conclusion where we've achieved Kedusha and even Super Kedusha in Emor and Bahar, and we fully understand the nature of what it means to enter into a relationship with the Kedusha with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, now that we've reached that point, there's one thing left to do. God's laid everything out for us. He showed us what Kedusha means. He showed us the content of what the relationship is supposed to be. But now we have to have that choice. Now is that moment where we can choose. Are we going to enter into a contract of Kedusha with a Kadosh Baruch Hu or not? Parshat Bechukotai is the contract between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we sign, that we enter into, where we agree to be that Goy Kadosh and live a reality of Kedusha. After all has been explained, this is that contract. A better way to frame this, instead of certainly not Tokacha, and not even necessarily bracha and klala, one word that really brings us all together is, those who are in Midrashah know what word we're looking for, is brit. This parsha is really a brit. It's a covenant that we're entering into with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on everything that we've learned up until this point. We saw again and again and again, well, at least twice, when we looked at the end of the two paragraphs, the two primary paragraphs in Parsha Bechukotai. These are the things, these are the Torah and the mitzvot which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting to you at Har Sinai. It emphasizes it both times. And last pasuk, why do we have a brit here? Because we're coming to the end of the Har Sinai stage of Torah. We arrived at Har Sinai a book and a half ago. We left Mitzrayim in Parshat Bo. Through Parshat Beshalach, we came there at Parshat Yitro, and we've been sitting there at Har Sinai for the last book and a half, from Yitro until now. And we leave a few parshiot into Sefer Bamidbar, which is defined as the Sefer of the Midbar, when we leave Har Sinai, when we finally are able to move past that stage and go into the next stage, which is going through the desert to get to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Bamidbar is all about, is the moving away from Har Sinai, leaving that Har Sinai stage behind and moving on to the next phase. And right before we leave, now after we've learned everything that we need to learn in this stage of Torah, we're signing a brit between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that, on everything that we've learned, on all those realities of Kedusha. contracts have two sides to them. The first side of the contract is usually why you're signing, right? When you sit down to go and sign a contract, you want to buy a house. You want to start a partnership in business with somebody. You want to do something. What is the first thing that's discussed on the top of the contract?
What you gain.
What you gain and why you're getting into this. So how does the brit of Bichul Kotai open up? With the goal of the brit. Which is why it's so ironic that we refer to this part as the Tokacha. Because the primary part of this parasha is actually the first paragraph. That's the paragraph that we should be focusing on. That's the paragraph with everything that we're setting out to accomplish. Let's read the paragraph together. Opening the parasha Bichul Kotai. Im Bichul Kotai Teilechu, if you walk in my ways, if you follow my decrees and observe my commandments, and you do them, meaning if you live up to this brit, so then things will go the way they're supposed to go. I'll give you rain in their time. And both the land and the trees will give their fruit. Your threshing will last until the vintage, and the vintage will last until the sowing, and you will eat bread to Seiri, and you will dwell securely in your land. V'natati shalom ba'aretz, I will give peace in your land. Ushchavtem ve'ein macharid, you're going to sleep and you have nothing to fear. V'ishpati chayara amin ha'aretz v'cherev lo ta'avor ba'aretzachem, and I'll remove all wild animals and all war from your lands. Uredavtem et oivechem v'naflu lifnechem macharev, and all of your enemies will fall before you. V'radfu michem chamisha mea u'mea mikem rivava yirdofu v'naflu lifnechem macharev, and all of your enemies will fall again. Ufaniti alichem v'ifreiti etchem v'irbeiti etchem v'akimoti et briti itchem. There's the key word. There's your word. There's brit. I will turn my attention to you, and I will fulfill you, and I will fulfill and increase you, and I will establish my covenant with you. I'll give you my brit. V'achaltim yashanosham v'yasham mipnei chadash totziu. I will turn my attention. You will eat old, very old grain and remove the old to make way for the new. And here's really the bottom line of that brit. Hear the words. V'natati mishkani betochachem. And I will put my mishkan amongst you. I will dwell within you, which was the whole goal. Meaning, the Shechina came into the mishkan at the end of Sefer Shmot, but this is how we maintain a connectivity with the Shechina for all time. V'natati mishkani betochachem. V'lo tigal nafshi etchem. V'italachti betochachem, I will walk within you. V'hayiti lachem le'elohim, and I will be a God to you. And what's the flip side? Because contracts are always both ways. V'atem tili la'am. There's two sides here. That's the brit. The brit is, I will be a God to you, and you will be my people, and this is what draws us together. That's what Kedusha is. That's how we define Kedusha. Kedusha is a singular, focused relationship between two things. That's why when a person gets married, it's called Kedushin. I'm connecting to you to the exclusion of all other people. This is the brit. This is what it's about. I will walk amongst you. I will be with you. You will be my people and I will be your God. That's what we're entering into. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim yot lehem avadim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim from being slaves. V'ashfor matot olchem v'olich etchem kol mamiyut. And I've established you and brought you forth here. That's the goal of Bichul Kotai. That's what we're signing on. That's the top of the contract. Now, what do all contracts also have?
Conditions violated.
The conditions that would happen if things break down, which we also refer to as? The fine print. The fine print, which appears in very small letters on the bottom of every contract. The fine print, which if you listen to the radio, after they tell you all of the awesome things that will happen if you call the number and order the thing, which you're probably not going to like anyway, then afterward, they start to speak really fast and really well, right? Get that all in. You're supposed to, they know you're not going to understand it, but just say it quietly, really fast. You know what's so interesting? When you go to Shul this week, you know what's going to happen? When we get to the Tokacha, when we get to the Kala section, we read it in a low voice, quietly and really fast. Now, on the one hand, that's so we don't, because we don't want to relate to the Tokacha, but on the other hand, because that's what the Tokacha is. The Tokacha is that if things don't go right, which the presumption is that it's never going to happen. That's never the goal. The Imlo Tishma'uli. If you don't hear me, if you don't follow in my ways, then this Tokacha will come about. Because that's the nature of the contract. When there is a breach of contract, when things go wrong, there have to be consequences. Life is real. If you want a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be real. And that means if you relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to live a life of bracha. And if you walk away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo aleinu, then yes, we're going to live a life of klala. That's the way it goes. But the question is for us, when we look at a parsha like this, where are we putting that emphasis? How are we looking at it? How are we relating to it? There's a similar discussion that comes up in the context of marriage. Good advice in general. Kol b'shato ha-mislachak. So you said amen, so you didn't say amen. Whoever you're holding is fine. In the context of marriage, just one thing to know, and hopefully your chassid and kallel teachers, when you get there, will tell this to you, but they probably won't, so you're hearing it from me, which is, something good to keep in mind is that when you're getting married, it's important to remember that the wedding that you're going to is not your wedding. It's not your wedding, correct. It is your parents' wedding. You happen to be the guest of honor, but it's your parents' wedding. That will save you a lot of difficulties along the way and the road to getting married. But that being said, I highly recommend, and this is what I tell my chassanim when we learn together, is that you pick one or two things that are really important to you. The one or two things that are worth pushing for. Because at the end of the day, if you are the guest of honor, it may as well be something that you enjoy and you relate to. But only pick one or two things. So when I got around to my wedding, there were two things that I focused on and two things that I pushed for at my own wedding. The first is that, to me, music is everything. And the singing and the dancing at the wedding, that's really the heart and soul of the wedding outside of the chuppah. And the chuppah, I knew was going to happen, or else I didn't have a wedding. So I was pretty much guaranteed of that. As long as my wife was there and the chuppah was there, I was good. But the music is what really makes the wedding afterward. And Baruch Hashem, I got somebody wonderful. I got Eitan Katz, who I love, who now has become extraordinarily popular. Back in the day, he was also popular, but it was before, like, he was at every single wedding. It was actually a chiddush to have Eitan Katz. Now it's an assumed you have to have Eitan Katz, and it's the right assumption. Plug for him. He's going to plug us. We can plug him, too. So that was the one thing that I fought for. The second thing that I fought for was, I said, I want a ketubah for my Rebbe. I want a ketubah for my Rebbe. My Rebbe is a calligrapher. He's an artist in many different ways. There's a lot of different types of beautiful artistic work. And he also makes ketubas. As long as we're plugging, it's iturin.com. Highly recommend checking it out. They're beautiful ketubas. As long as we're plugging. And one of the things that I wanted, a very close arrest, I wanted a ketubah for my Rebbe. Now, there's an interesting machloket about what to do with the ketubah once it's been signed and after the wedding is over. What are the two options of what you could do with the ketubah? You could hang it up on the wall. Or put it in a drawer. I mean, as long as someplace safe is good. It's a big problem. You may always know where your ketubah is. It's yours. It's not theirs. Always know where your ketubah is. It's a very important halachic reality. So you have to know where the ketubah is. But you could put it in a drawer. You could put it on a. You could put it on a shelf. You could put it in a box. As long as you know where it is. As long as it's in your rishus to the women, not to the guys. As long as it's in your rishus, that's fine. Now, why is there this difference of opinion? What are the svaras that say you should either put it in a box or you should put it on the wall? Why would you put it in a box?
It's a contract.
Because the contract. And what does the contract say? What is the contract really about? What is the whole ketubah about? If things don't work out and you get divorced, here's what you owe me. So, after you get married, why would you want to put that on your wall? Put it in a drawer. Put it away. Don't even use the word in the house. In the first year of my marriage, we were learning in yeshiva. We were learning in YU, Masechet Gittin. And like, I was so makbet on it that when I would talk to my chavruta on the phone in the house, I'd say that we were learning the Masechet Kiddushin. And you know what I was talking about. Because I didn't even want to use the word Gittin in the house. So take the ketubah, put it in a box, and put it away. Why would you possibly put the ketubah on the wall? What? As a threat. Wow. That's lacha to you and him. The other way to look at it is why you put it on the wall. So I once heard somebody ask my Rebbe this. And he said, of course you put it on the wall. Why wouldn't you put it on the wall? The most important thing, the foundation of your marriage, is in that document. When my Rebbe writes that document, my Rebbe makes that ketubah, and the reason why he puts all of his artistic life into those ketubahs is because of what it says at the beginning of the ketubah, which is Nave Li Le'itu, which means I want you to be my wife. That's all Rabbi sees. That it's that moment where there's a connectivity between two people that's bringing them together, that I'm binding myself to you for the rest of my life. How do we live to? Everything else is the fine print. And that's why it should be beautiful. And that's why it should be on the wall. Two totally different ways to look at things. And I think in this generation, we've gotten so stuck. Which I was sitting around at the beginning of Shir. We've gotten so stuck of seeing God as angry, God as vengeful, that we assumed those words and those descriptions from the secular world which have attributed to the quote-unquote Old Testament. There is no New Testament and there is no angry and vengeful God. Both of those things are untrue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God who's telling us, I am calling you intimately into my reality of Kedusha. I want to summon you on, and I want you to lead a life of Bracha. I want you to live a life of Bracha. And if you stick with me, that's what it's going to be. And then there is fine print that if things don't go well, if you end up breaking the contract, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences because the relationship is real. And there are, and if you live up to that relationship, there are very real, beautiful consequences. There's a life of bracha waiting for you. And lo aleinu, if you don't do it, zeli umat ze asah elokim, then there will be a negative side to it. And this is what happens if you break the contract. That's what Parshat Bechukotai is setting out to accomplish. And the nature of that brit itself is very much in line, focused on the nature of Seder Vayikra that has to be. If we had more time, I'd ask you to really scan through the Tokacha section, the Klala section, to see what word keeps popping up again and again and again. It's not on the shoulder catch. It keeps popping up again and again and again. But instead, I'll give it away. If you take a look inside, the constant word, the constant refrain in the Klala section is... There we go. For example, Parshat Chaf Dalet. Perek Chaf Dalet. Perek Chaf Vav Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Okay, she was trying to dim the tokacha. No, it was perfect. It was great timing. V'halachti afani imachem bekeri. I will walk with you, bekeri. Now that's interesting. That word keri is interesting. Because where did we say that the word keri came up otherwise in this sefer? We talked about it at the beginning of this year. It's part of the first word of the sefer. What's the first word of the sefer? Vayikra, which you said has two meanings with a small yud. It could also be Vayikar. The goal of Sefer Vayikra was this intimate call, this loving call into the Mishkan, a loving call into Kedusha, into a relationship, and we define Kedusha as a relationship, a two-way relationship that's focused on one thing, that we're solely focused on God and God is focused on us. And this is the brit, this is the covenant at the end of that, at the end of that Sefer. And we're told, if you stick with me, we read it in the Bracha section, then I will walk with you and you will walk with me. But if you let Keri come into the equation, if you forget all of the lessons of Sefer Vayikra, if you negate the brit on this subject matter, on this content, and you violate the most basic premise of the relationship, which is to go back to the word Keri. Keri, which means, it comes up in Asher Kar Chabaderech by Amalek. Rashi gives three interpretations of the word. One is cold, two is tum'ah, and three is happenstance. If you walk with me coldly, if you turn a cold shoulder to me, if you bring tum'ah to your life, as we defined in previous shirim, if you bring tum'ah to your life, which tum'ah means to create blockages, milashon tum'tum and mitum'tam, atum, you create blockages, you cut yourself off from me, you break that relationship, you create blockages in that relationship. And perhaps the worst of all in the context of the sefer, mikre, you assume that all of life is happenstance? You don't see a us being hitalachti b'torachem. You don't see us walking hand in hand through life. You think all of this is happening. You think you have all of this bracha because it happened? There's no relationship involved? You think life is a life of carry? So God says, fine. Then you don't chop what Vayikra is about. You've broken the contract. And I'll show you, instead of Vayikra, what carry really is. I'll show you a life of happenstance. I'll show you what happens when I remove myself from this world. Myself from actively guiding you toward bracha. And you know what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Like every contract, there's stage by stage. Things get worse and worse and worse if we don't come around. Worse and worse if we don't chop what's going on. And so there's one stage, and the next stage, and the next stage. If you are not going to walk with me, if you're going to walk with me in a way of carry, I'll walk with you in a way of carry. I'll pull myself out, and you'll see what happenstance really looks like. You'll see how much of a chance you, a small, fragile nation, have in a complicated and brutal world if I'm not holding your hand. Both as a consequence of breaking that contract of Vayikra and Kiddusha, as well as a call to us, to show us if this is what happenstance looks like, if this is what happens, we go off the way. What is that going to remind us? That the only way to lead a life of bracha, the only way that we get reality back on track, the Jewish people back on track, is to go back to living up to the nature of that brit itself. Which is why beautifully, the end of that brit, the end even of the tokacha section, of the klala section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, take a look in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Mem Dalet. After all of the klalot are listed and come to a wrap up in Pasuk Mem Gimel, amazingly, beautifully, at the end of the tokacha, at the end of the klala section, at the end of the fine print, part of that fine print is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, after all of that, v'af gamzot, v'yotam be'eretz oyvehem, lo ma'asim, v'lo ge'altim l'chalotam, la'afir briti itam, ki ani Hashem Elokechem. Despite all this, while they will be in the land of their enemies, I will not have been revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them to obliterate them. I will not lahafer briti. I will never be made fair my brits. I will never break my side of the contract. I will always be there in connection with you because we've signed this brit together. Part of that is the negative side. If you walk away from me, then this is what's going to happen. But I'm still going to be in relationship with you. I will never break that contract. I'll never be made fair briti itam. Why? Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I am Hashem their God. I am the God of the Jewish people. V'zacharti lahem brit rishonim. Keep coming back to a concept of brit. I remember the brit, the earlier brit that I made. This covenant that I said that I'm going to be a God to them when I took them out of Egypt. Then, these are the chukim, the mishpatim and torot. What's the phrase here? What's the next phrase? Chukim mishpatim and torot that? Asher natan Hashem beino Uvein b'nei Yisrael, an emphasis on this two-sided contract, this connectivity that's being established through this brit. Bar Sinai b'yad Moshe. But even at the end of this klala section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us He will never forget us, He will never leave us. He's always going to be there. It's up to us to choose whether or not it's actively in a reality of bracha, that His Mishkani is here, that He's halachti b'tochachem, that He will be to us a God, and we will be to Him a people. That's on us to live up to that side of the contract. And if not, lo aleinu, the klalot will come as a response to the way that we're acting to God. Midah keneged midah. If we act to God with carry, then He'll react to us with carry. But with the goal of bringing us back, because v'zacharti every time, I will never forget my breath, and I will always try to bring you back. That's the conclusion of Sefer Vayikra. It's the brit on everything we've achieved in Sefer Vayikra, the conclusion of Sefer Vayikra, and that's why it brings the Sefer to a close. We have a little bit of time. So let's briefly talk about why that isn't where the Sefer comes to a close. Questions, thoughts, comments on the nature of Parshat Bechukotai and the nature of the brit up until this point? Everybody's good? I'll take even a small nod. Thumbs up. Now I'm totally fine. Okay, excellent. So then we have this question of, okay, that would be a beautiful way to end the Sefer. Chazak, Chazak, Vini, Chazik. We've laid out all of Sefer Yikra. We have the Brit. Here's what happens if you do it. Here's if you don't do it. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the Brit that we signed at Har Sinai. Chazak, Chazak, Vini, Chazik. What in the world? What in the world is there another paragraph doing at the end? And worse, the content of the paragraph makes no sense. What's the content of the final paragraph of Sefer Yikra? If you want to make a gift to the Beit HaMikdash and the equivalent value of X, Y, or Z, here's how much it costs, you can give it to the Beit HaMikdash. Chazak, chazak, vini chazik. That's kind of how you feel. Why weren't we done? There's two big questions. Three. First of all, what is it doing there? But let's emphasize the question with two stronger questions on that paragraph. Number one is, that should have been part of the Brit. Why is it here? It's not in the contract. You can't say, oops, once you sign, it's over. What is it doing there? Question number two. If the whole discussion there is about how to create a reality of Hekdesh, to make something holy, to give something to the Beit HaMikdash, what parsha should this paragraph have been in? Does it have a place in Sefer Vayikra? I don't know. What do you think? Where should it have been? Thank you. Parsha Kedoshim. It's talking about Kedusha, so put it in Kedoshim. That's clearly where it belongs. Two very strong and important questions on that paragraph. So I would suggest the following. I'm sure, based on what my Rebbe said. I only prepared this piece for today. This is going to be the end of last week's shiur, so I think my Rebbe talks about it. I'm sure he does, but some of this may be my own as well. I think it's the most powerful and profound and beautiful way to wrap up Sefer Vayikra. What is the concept of being done here? What happens here? Spell it out for me. I decide that I want to do what? It's in the paragraph. Now we just said it. That last paragraph. I decide that I want to do what? I want to give something to the Beit HaMikdash. I want to give to the Beit HaMikdash. So I go forward and I say something. And that makes this equivalent value, this object, whatever the thing may be, that makes it holy. That makes it consecrated. That makes it hektish. And therefore, it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. I think what it's emphasizing here is as follows. We just signed a contract. We just signed a brit. The contract is what binds us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The contract is what demands of us that we be in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same way that a ketubah makes demands on what the context of that relationship should be. When that contract is signed, the woman is separating herself out from all of the people on the face of the earth to be connected to that one person, to that one man, and he therefore is going to provide her with certain things that he's required to give her. There's a relationship that's being entered which has parameters, has definitions, has a way in which it needs to be lived. But what is Kedusha about? Kedusha is not just about a contract. When we defined Kedusha and Parsha Kedoshim, we talked about the fact that it's totally going all the way into that relationship. It's going all in. That I'm only focused on one thing and one thing only. When we saw the Ramban re-evaluate the definition of Kedusha, he talked about, I forget his language on the negative side, but it was referred to in the positive side in the Sfarim as Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar. Lo Yeh Naval B'Rishat Zoraz, the way he phrases it. But the idea of being Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar, meaning, even in those moments where there are no, if you will, contractual obligations on how to act. The example we used was food, which the Ramban brought up. The food is kosher. I said a bracha. Contractually, is there anything else that I have to do? No. I'm done. I fulfilled my baseline requirements. I fulfilled the contract. What Kedoshim to you charges with that we just talked about in Parsha Kedoshim. What it charges with is, what happens in those moments afterward? Who do I reveal myself to be? Am I really focused on my end of the deal, on myself? Or am I focused on you, on the other side? Am I focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Those are the real moments where it comes out. In those moments where there's no obligation, where the contracts have been fulfilled, am I still obsessing over HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Am I still wanting to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every way that I can? Is my whole life about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or do I reveal in those moments of Mutar Lecha, where everything is allowed, there's no specific contractual obligations, do I reveal that really it's all about me? I wanted to get the contract out of the way to get to myself. How does Vayikra end? It doesn't end with the Brit. We had to enter into a Brit on everything that we set up. We say, okay, listen, we are going to be that Am Kadosh. We're agreeing to it, we're entering into the relationship, it's going to be amazing. But that last final paragraph, that's what it's about. That last final paragraph is that inner scream inside that says, okay, the contract's done. I'll be Kadosh, and I'll respect that which has a higher level of Kedusha. But now, I want to create Kedusha. I want to create Hekdesh, because it's not enough for me. Because if I'm really living a life of Kedusha, it's not just in the moments when it exists, I want to create it. And that can't be part of the contract. Because that's my own volition. That's my choice. The last paragraph is, after all is said and done, I've signed on that contract. Not only am I going to live after the contract, but I want to live a life of Kedusha beyond what the contract says. Beyond what I've signed on. Because the only reason that I signed it, the only reason I signed the ketubah, was because I wanted to be married to my wife. But I'm living a life of marriage because I love my wife. And lo aleinu, if a person lives in the context of a marriage... I hope this doesn't happen to anyone, is to go back and look at the ketubah every day and be like, okay, did that, good, peace out. You have a very bad marriage. That's how a marriage is. And by the way, you all laugh, that's how a lot of people look at Judaism. We think, okay, what do I have to do? What are the mitzvot to say? What are the mitzvot to say? Check, peace out. I've been yotzei milashon yitziyah. I've walked out of the relationship. I did my obligations, I'm walking out. I'm yotzei. I'm walking out the exit door. Or do we try to be machnis into it? Do we try to enter into it? Do we recognize, okay, this is the baseline obligation, but I want to do more? Because the only reason that I signed it was so I could get into that relationship and just keep doing anyway. Vayikra doesn't end with the contract. It ends with God giving us a gift to be able to continue to grow in Kedusha, to create Kedusha, to show us that we have the capacity inside of us, impossibly, to take chol where there isn't a reality of Kedusha and to create Kedusha. That's the power that we have. That's the strength that we have. That's the essence of the relationship. Because I want to give more, and I want to give more, and I want to give more. I says, okay, bro, fine, so I'm going to give you the capacity to create Kedusha. That last paragraph is the Torah of life. The contract enters into life of Kedusha. But the Torah of life is that last paragraph. Of constantly thinking about, how can I give more? How can I create more Kedusha? That's Parshat Bechukotai. That's a response to Vayikra El Moshe. God calls out to us, and we respond. Vayikra, words, he calls out to us, Vayikra. And Hekdesh is we respond and I verbally call out back to him. He calls me into Kedusha and I call back to him with Kedusha. It's the give and take, it's the dialogue of life, it's the dialogue of marriage, it's the dialogue of living life as a Jew. Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zocha to have a clarity of perspective in life, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of love, guiding us with love. That His goal is to give us bracha, that He entered into a brit with us to give us endless bracha. To also recognize when we slip and fall and make mistakes, and when negative things happen, it's because we've pushed HaKadosh Baruch Hu out, but He's waiting for us to come back in. That we should be able to live up to that brit, to be that Melech HaKohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And beyond that, once we've fulfilled those obligations, to become, as the Rambam talks about in Hilchot Tshuva, so head over heels, lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is all that we're thinking about. That even once we've lived up to the parameters of Kedusha set out by the Britot, that we're so enamored with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so in love, so obsessed with godliness in our lives, that all we're doing is looking to fill the hole with Kodesh, through which to bring about the building of the third Beit HaMikdash Shmei Rabbi Amina. Shkoach, everybody. It's been wonderful learning with you this semester. It was really great to have these gift of these last 4 weeks to learn a really large chunk of Zir Vayikra with you, and Bezrat Hashem, I look forward to picking up with Shir Kali next year.